For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 14 of the series.
We're told in Ezekiel chapter 35 that there's a prophecy there against Esau or Edom, who's called Mount Seir. That's because historically, Esau, he lived in Mount Seir, which was a place of cave dwellings. Well, in the Hebrew language, the way you say a male goat is Sa'ir. And so within the place for Esau, who is named Sa'ir, we have the word Sa'ir. And so you have the same letters in the Hebrew language. And so Jacob, the people of the God of Israel, is likened to sheep. And those who oppose Jacob, Esau, he's likened unto a goat. And so we are told in the book of Daniel, in Daniel in chapter 8, verse 21, that Greece is likened to a goat. So Esau is likened to a goat. Greece is likened to a goat. So those who are Esau or who side with Esau or practice after Esau's ways, which is Grecian, that's who Judah is being sold to. It's being sold to those who are standing with Esau and the nations who are standing with Esau in proclamation of Ezekiel 36, 1 and 2, that Esau wants to make the mountains of Israel his possession. And so this is what the prophecy is saying, that the Jews in the land are being removed from their border. They're being kicked out of their homes. And so then we see in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, I will restore health unto you. And so exile is likened to a wound. I'm going to restore health. That's ending the exile. And I'm going to heal you of your wound. The wound's the exile. The healing is the end of the exile. Because they, the nations of the world, called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, which no man seeks after. In other words, the nations of the world don't believe like you do. They're not pursuing this path. Well, in the Hebrew, where it's translated, they called you an outcast, they called, it's the Strong's number 7121. It's the Hebrew word kara. And kara means to approach and speak to in a challenging or an aggressive way. So outcast is the Strong's number 5080 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It's the Hebrew word nadak, which means to drive out or expel. So in the Hebrew, it's saying that the God of Israel is going to restore health to his people. He's going to end the exile because they're approaching his people in a challenging and aggressive way to drive them out. What's the aggressive way that they're saying? They are in aggressive way saying that you need to make possible a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. So the prophecy is when the nations stand with Esau to do this, that's when the God of Israel is going to end the exile of his people. So in the conflict between Jacob and Esau, given that Esau is likened or characteristically associated with a goat, there's a prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13, that the sons of Zion, meaning those who believe and seek to follow the ways of the God of Israel, believe the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and they seek to follow his Torah, that the sons of Zion will be in conflict with the sons of Greece. It says, when I've bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim. So it's talking about Judah and Ephraim. Judah, southern kingdom, Ephraim, northern kingdom. And I raised up your sons, O Zion. So those within Judah and Ephraim who believe in the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and want to follow the Torah of the God of Israel, and ultimately believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, they are the sons of Zion. And they will be in conflict with the sons of Greece, that is Esau, and those who oppose the God of Israel, the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So in the sons of Zion opposing the sons of Greece, when the sons of Greece come in and oppose and declare and recognize a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, the sons of Zion will rise up against the sons of Greece. And this is what happened historically from the book of Daniel, when you had a Greek ruler named Antiochus Epiphanes, who he tried to impose Greek rule and Greek ways upon the known world at that time. And this included the area which we call today the land of Israel. And there was a declaration that you must follow Greek ways under penalty. And you also, in following Greek ways, that you cannot follow the Torah of the God of Israel. Historically, there was a group of people, a group of priests who rose up in opposition to this imposition. They were known as the Maccabees. And so their victory in the conflict is celebrated by the holiday of Hanukkah, which means dedication. That there's going to be a prophetic repeat of this associated with the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel in the greater Exodus, that the sons of Zion will rebel against the sons of Greece when the sons of Greece try to impose a Palestinian state. In their rebellion, they will stand for the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in the physical, in the natural, they will declare biblical Zion. And we are told about biblical Zion being born in one day at the time of the day of the Lord that is associated with the tribulation period and Jacob's trouble. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, it is written, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once?" So the prophecy is a nation being born in one day. In the text, what is the name of that nation? It's Zion, because it says, "As soon as Zion travailed." So the nation being born is called in the text Zion. And it says, "As soon as she travailed." Travail is a reference or an allusion to the tribulation period or Jacob's trouble, that this nation, Zion, is going to be born during the tribulation or Jacob's trouble, the darkness part of the day of the Lord. That as soon as she travails, she's going to bring forth her children. Who are her children? They are the ones who believe in the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the sons of Zion. And so the prophecy says in Isaiah 66, verse 14, when you see this, when you see Zion being born in a day during the time of Jacob's trouble, that for those who understand the scriptures or the prophecies and know what it means, your heart will rejoice and your bones will flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord will be known to his servants in his indignation toward his enemies. So when we studied the principles and the patterns of the greater Exodus, we saw that one of the principles that occurred when judgment was upon Pharaoh in Egypt, that he made a distinction between his people who lived in the land of Goshen and the judgments that he brought upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And so that is a prophetic foreshadowing that when Zion is established during the tribulation period, that the God of Israel will once again make a distinction between his people that believe in the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sons of Zion, and he'll make a distinction between his people and those who oppose, that is the sons of Greece. Next, let's look a little bit closer to the scripture that we just looked at, Isaiah 66, verse 8, which reads, "As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Zion is the Strong's number 6726 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. And if we look at the word Zion, it says that it means a dry or a parched or a desolate place, that it's the same or it contains the same letters as the Strong's number 6725 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, which we pronounce as Zion. And Zion means a sign. And so in the Hebrew language, Hebrew words that have the same letters belong to the same family of words, and within the same family, there is an associated meaning with all the words that contain the same letters. And so since Zion, which means sign, has the same letters as Zion, we say in English Zion, that we could understand then that in the family association of the meaning of the word, that Zion means a sign. That being the case, we're going to find the meaning of Zion, which means a sign, associated with Zion in Jeremiah chapter 31, where in verse 15, Rachel was weeping for her children, and she's told in verse 16 to refrain from weeping, because in verse 17, there's hope that her children will return to their own border and the exile. See, as long as Rachel's children are in exile, she's weeping, she's mourning. And when the exile of her children ends, then she's comforted. And who is specifically mentioned in the prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 31, given that Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin? And so Joseph is associated with the northern kingdom. Benjamin is associated with the southern kingdom. Benjamin is linked with Judah of the southern kingdom. But in Jeremiah 31, who is mentioned is Ephraim, son of Joseph. Is Ephraim my dear son? So regarding Ephraim returning to his own border, the northern kingdom returning to their own border, it says in the English translation in Jeremiah 31 verse 21, set you up waymarks. Well, this is the word Zion. But in the original text, it's just written with the letters that are the same letters as Zion. Because whether it's Zion or Zion is based upon where you put the vowels. And in the written Hebrew, in everyday conversation and in newspapers, the vowels are understood by people who know the language. And so therefore, you could read in Jeremiah 31:21 as set you up Zion, set you up Zion. So Zion means the sign, set you up Zion. So when Zion is set up, and the way Zion will be set up in the natural and the physical is when in Zechariah chapter 12 verses 5 and 6 that the governors of Judah will rise up in opposition to Esau and the nation seeking to divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, creating a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, and they will declare in not accepting the imposition of a Palestinian state, they will declare their opposition to it and their belief in the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when forced and pressed to do so, they will declare an independent state in Judea, Samaria, in the West Bank, in the mountains of Israel, with Jerusalem as its capital. And so from Isaiah 66 verse 8, they'll make that declaration in one day. They will declare Zion, and biblically, it's the governors of Judah who are doing this, and they're going to really stir the pot, as you might say, because in Zechariah 12 verse 6, it says, in that day, that's the day of the Lord, I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And so they're going to cause the conflict to intensify. And what is written in Isaiah 66 verse 8, that Zion is born in one day, that this is what Revelation 12 is making a reference to, the prophecy of Isaiah 66 verse 8. We're here in Revelation 12 1, it says, there appeared a great sign in heaven. In the description of the sign is a woman that has a crown on her head and 12 stars above her head. So the sign is a crown, and that's ruling and reigning, 12 stars, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. So the sign is the ruling and reigning of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the 12 tribes of Israel rule and reign when the Messiah comes and ends their exile, and he sets up a kingdom, and Israel's at the head of all nations. So now this is a sign that this is about to come about, but Zion in Hebrew, in the family association of the meaning of the word, means a sign. So I could read Revelation 12:1, there appeared a great Zion. The Zion is the woman that has a crown and 12 stars. And she's clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Well, what's under your feet you have authority over. And so the sun is a reference to Greco-Roman Christianity, which mixed the belief in Yeshua as the Messiah with sun worship. And then the moon is a symbol of Islam. And so Jacob won't have to contend with the mixed worship and the paganism that has brought into the faith and believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, nor will they have to contend with the opposition of Esau expressed through the religion of Islam. And so with this sign appearing in the way in which the birth of it is going to look is a declaration of an independent state by the governors of Judah and Judea Samaria or the West Bank, where they declare that being an independent state, which they're going to call Zion, and declare Jerusalem as its capital, that this declaration is being brought about with great pain, with great travail, that is likened and associated with a woman that has child, Revelation 12:2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth in pain to be delivered. So in the natural, according to the prophecy in Isaiah in chapter 66, it's going to look like this child, this declaration of an independent state, is going to fail. It looks like the birth of Zion is going to be aborted. That's what's going to appear like in the natural. And we can see this from Isaiah 66 verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Have I brought the circumstances and the situation such that the conditions are that this is now going to happen according to the prophecies, and then it not happen? And the God of Israel answer is, it will happen. It says in verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you that mourn for her. And so Isaiah 66 verses 8 and 9 is what's being referred to in Revelation in chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. So now the setting of the book of Revelation, and even Revelation chapter 12, is a vision that John, the disciple of Yeshua, received when he was imprisoned in the Isle of Patmos. And he says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day is the day of the Lord. So he's being shown in the Spirit. He's being shown the future about events that are taking place in the day of the Lord. And so from this woman giving birth in travail, Isaiah 66, Revelation 12, upon giving birth, it says in Isaiah 66, verse 8, that she brings forth her children. That's the sons of Zion. That's the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the greater Exodus. So it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, and she had a place there prepared by God for 1,203 score days. Now, this 1,260 days is going to be the duration of the greater Exodus. That's going to be the duration of time where he takes his people from the nations and brings them back to the land of Israel. And it says in Revelation 12:14, to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. So remember the principle and the pattern that we see in the Torah? When the children of Israel were redeemed out of Egypt on their way to the promised land, on their way to receive the promise and the blessing that was made to Abraham, where in Genesis 17 he was given the land of Canaan, and walking to receive that inheritance, that they went through the wilderness. And so on the way to receive the promise that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people literally went through the wilderness. Of course, they was in the wilderness for 40 years. And so this is a principle or a prophecy or prophetic foreshadowing that the wilderness that the children of Israel were in when they came out of Egypt, that is a prophecy of being in the wilderness of the nations, as we can see in Ezekiel in chapter 20. And we're going to begin reading there in verse, Ezekiel chapter 20, in verses 33 and 34. As I live, says the Lord God, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of all the countries where you've been scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. You see, the phraseology, mighty hand and with a mighty arm, well, that was the phraseology when Yeshua brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, when he judged Pharaoh, and when he judged Egypt. He said he would bring them out with a mighty hand and with a mighty arm. Well, that's the same phraseology that's used when he's going to gather his people from the nations of the world where they've been scattered. And just as when he brought them out of Egypt, he took him in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. It says in Ezekiel 20, verse 35, I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there, in the wilderness of the people, I will plead with you face to face. Like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you. So coming out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, they went in the wilderness. So, and returning to the land of Israel and ending the exile, the greater exodus, in the journey of the greater exodus, it begins in the nations of the world where you're at, and where you're at in the nations is the wilderness. It's the wilderness of the peoples. And so the journey, the greater exodus journey that the Messiah is going to lead his people back, because it's the Messiah that gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel, he's going to bring his people back from the nations of the world where they've been scattered, and he's going to take them back to the land from the wilderness of the people. So they will be in the wilderness. How long? For 1,260 days. So the 1,260 days, which is the time frame of the Great Tribulation, is going to be the time of the Greater Exodus. The Greater Exodus is a 3.5-year period. It begins at Passover at the start of the Great Tribulation, and the duration of time by which the Messiah is going to bring his people from the nations back to the land is 1,260 days, 3.5 years, or 42 months. And so when he did bring them out historically in Exodus in chapter 19, we have this phraseology. It says in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Well, in the prophecy in Revelation 12, it says the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. And so we see here, by looking at and understanding the principles and patterns of the God of Israel, that the principles and patterns that we study in the Torah, in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the history of the nation of Israel, that those patterns and principles are critical in order for us to give insight and understand the greater Exodus and how it takes place. And so the next thing is that from the birth of biblical Zion, that is the declaration by the governors of Judah of an independent state in Judea Samaria, in the West Bank, in the mountains of Israel, where Jerusalem is declared its capital. It is through this that the Messiah is going to be revealed to his people and to the world. You see, Yeshua prayed in John in chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one. He's praying for the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world will know that you sent me. And so it's from this event that Messiah is fully revealed to the world regarding who he is, but it's through this event he's revealed to his people. And as the prophecy says in Hosea chapter 1 in verse 11, that northern kingdom, southern kingdom, the house of Jacob, will appoint themselves one head when their exile is over. So this is the understanding behind Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, where it says, and she, the woman, Zion, the one with the crown and 12 stars, she brought forth a man-child. That's the Messiah. And the man-child is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. We see that Yeshua rules all nations with a rod of iron in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, where it says, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And this parallels the prophecy back to Isaiah 66, when it says that Zion was delivered of a man-child. And now finally, there's a prophecy regarding this in Psalm 87, verse 5. Of Zion, it will be said, this and that man was born in her. And so the people will receive Yeshua as the Messiah through the birth of biblical Zion, and Messiah is born in their hearts, and that is how and why Yeshua ultimately rules and reigns from Zion, because that man was born in her, in Zion, in the Messiah. And so the people born unto the Messiah is born in the hearts and the lives of his people.
Well, that's going to conclude part 14 of the series on the subject, the principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua, the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.